I'm Emily Jacobs, and I've never listened to None Taken.
I mean, I get it. They don't like seeing the government give a bunch of money to Israel. I don't either. Like, that's where our argument becomes complex.
Well, and,
right?
And I mean, so if she were informed, she would say that NYU's endowment being invested in companies that.
So it's funny you should say that, because that's what shut me up while me and you were beefing last episode.
Okay.
They want divestment, but like, it's not like they have a bunch of Raytheon stock. They have index funds and ETFs.
Sure.
So the students essentially want a, like a certification that the ETFs and index funds are Israel free. Mm-hmm. But do you expect them to sell what they have and their assets right now? Like, that's not a good thing either.
Lose money. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, but they don't understand that, though, is what I'm saying. They don't know what they're even fucking asking for. And it just continues to make them look, you know. Rude isn't the strong enough word for it, but they're being very rude. And they keep using free speech in a way that I don't think that they know what that really means.
Well, also, a lot of these protests have evolved into to violence.
Yeah.
A lot of things. There's been a lot of
issues. Well, one of them, the one in Texas, the cops just like straight up tackled the cameraman. Like, that's way out of line.
Oh, yeah. They came in full riot gear. That one. You're talking about UT? Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a story in the headline show about Google and employees there upset about Google's.
Oh, like a whole team just got fired, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get there. But yeah, I mean, it's similarly like, how do you expect a multinational company like Google to really, you know, remove themselves from that entirely? It's almost impossible. I get that. But I also understand people wanting to protest and thinking that what Israel is doing in Gaza is absolutely 100%. Horrific.
I mean, I do too. You know? I do too. But
but there's ways to do that. And I mean, it doesn't involve like tying yourself to a copy machine in an office. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, I don't even hate that.
I think that's not as
it's not going to do anything though, right? Yeah, it's like the people that block traffic on the bridge. It's like,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you go light yourself on fire? oh, sorry. No, okay, I mean that in the context of that didn't do anything. What more can you do? Like, if that's not doing anything, then what
if
the fuck?
If that's not going to do it, then there's nothing to flip that switch.
Exactly. Thanks for giving me a second chance there, bud. do you want to hear some more footage from live on the campuses?
Sure. In my country, there is problem. And that problem is the Jews. God. They take everybody money. They never give it back. Throw the Jew down the well.
God.
So my country can be free. So my
country can be free. Oh my.
You must grab him by his horns. Then we have a big party.
Dude, was that in the movie or was that in the outtakes?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I remember hearing that phrase, not, you know, it was either from Borat or was that one of those Tuesday meetings before we started doing the show? If I knew any fucking better, I'd hit the fucking button right there. But instead, instead, you know what?
Perhaps.
As soon as I hit this button, we're in for it. You're going to tell me not to?
You know what? Fuck it.
Y'all let me in this damn house.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. All right, well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like None Taken. To the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines from all over the internet and we talk them at you, because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. And now, get ready to take a sledgehammer to the culture war echo chambers. But not before this.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What? What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Head on over to nonetakenpod.com. And so we got all the links in one spot for you. So you don't have to remember preownedbuttplugs.com, fungiblenuntakens.com, trumpgags.com anymore. Who knows where those take you? You go to nuntakenpod.com, your one-stop shop for all things show. You get your merch there. You can join the Patreon there. And there was another thing. I don't know. You can go to slickitsdigital.com there for all your SEO and marketing needs. Alan, you want to tell the fellas about the Patreon?
Hell yeah. So join the Patreon over there. You get full...
Sorry, fellas and three ladies.
Join the Patreon. You get full unedited videos of every episode. You get early access to interviews like we did yesterday with comedian Mike Burns. You get... You get a secret track in front of every show. We do a special secret track just for the Patreon listeners. 20, 30 minutes of clips that maybe wouldn't make its way onto the main show. But it's
fun.
And
we started today with that. So you can imagine.
It's a good time over there. Get to that.
You know, we do a timely show. So like we do a show that like, you know, it's about the news. So if you like the other stuff that we do and you want more of it, the first like 20 minutes of all of the old shows are secret tracks. So you can go back there and just be like, oh, I've heard the show already, but I haven't heard the first 20 minutes, get you a little bit more. And it's mostly timeless stuff there. It's evergreen, as we say it. In the biz, because we are professionals. Just like that intro. What a great intro, Alan.
Yeah, that's what we do here at Nuntaken.
How have you been since yesterday? I've seen you every day this week.
I know. Happy Friday, everybody. The weekend's here. Have a can of beer. We made it to another weekend, y'all. Let's go.
Gonna see some fucking vampire cowboy honky-tonk tomorrow night.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
It's gonna be great. It's over at D's. Yeah, guys, if you're in town, come see me at D's any Friday.
Hell yeah. Meet up with us.
Maybe not every Friday.
On Friday? You
should text me first.
All right, well, shall we get into some headlines? Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll hit this first one here. This one I actually added. This is from the New York Times today. Justices seem ready to limit the 2020 election case against Trump. So the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the presidential immunity case that was sent to them, or they decided to pick up. Mostly legal experts I had read going into this agreed that the appellate court had done a really good job with their ruling on this matter. That it was a very fair ruling, that it was a, you know, bipartisan, essentially. You had justices from every part of the political spectrum weighing in there. And it was a reasonable decision. And also to the counter of that, if you are going to say that presidential immunity is 100% and applies whether you're in office or not, whether you're doing presidential acts or not, that's just chaos. There's no way that could be possibly an outcome from this. So the oral arguments happened today. And usually you can sort of anticipate a little bit based on the questioning that the judges pursue as to what the outcome might be. I got to admit, man, I was a little surprised by some of the arguments they were seeming willing to entertain. And also the fact that they completely ignored. They essentially were, well, the conservative side at least, they seemed very concerned about, you know, what this could, the implications of this down the road, as opposed to this certain case, this specific case, right? So they were willing to entertain.
Which is the nature of the Supreme Court.
Sure. But they were asking questions like, well, if the president orders SEAL Team 6 to take out a political opponent, is that okay? And the attorney on the Trump side was like, well, I mean, probably.
If he gets impeached and through the Senate.
Right. And he was like, well, I mean, probably that's, you know, we'd have to see the actual case.
Unless he got impeached by the Senate, in which case then he wouldn't be immune to it.
Right.
So the only body on earth that can decide a president's fate is the House and Senate.
It's so just.
Or the current president at the time, pardoning, like.
Conservatives like to talk about the Constitution and the founding fathers, and it's like, do you understand the founding of this country?
No, they do. About... You shouldn't conflate conservatives we and didn't MAGA want people.
No, but what I'm saying is that the very same people that would make that argument would also say that Trump should be immune. I mean, I don't, it's just, it's mind blowing. Alito, let me just read you an Alito question. He says, if an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy? It's like he's turning the argument upside down and saying, this is what's bad for democracy, not the opposite. It's mind-blowing to me.
I know, and I think the historical argument is Republican Rome, but it wasn't the same structure as what we have.
Sure.
And... So the argument was like Caesar was like, I can't be out of power. Otherwise, you know, I'll be sued to death or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was lucky. He won the election that got him in and that set him down his course in broad strokes.
Sure.
But like the argument for Trump is that was why he tried to stay in power, because he knew that he would be held liable for what he did because there wasn't immunity. And then you look at, Ford and Nixon, like why on earth did he pardon Nixon? Like how is the court going to justify that? More, you got sneaky little answers for if they get convicted by the House and the Senate and impeached. Yeah, then you can, like, that's the only way to ever hold a president accountable is if first they've been impeached by the House and Senate. Like that's insane to me to think that like that's the process for the standard to prove, right? Like that
absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. It is insane.
But.
I mean,
but
just like, the fact that Clarence Thomas didn't recuse himself from this at all based on his wife's involvement in Jan 6th and all that. Like
this trial is holding up is the January 6th right. related trial.
Right. So regardless of how they rule, they probably aren't going to rule until June.
Yeah.
Which means there's no way this case happens before the election. And if Trump is reelected, he will kill it.
That's well, so there's two things. So like what right now, as it is, if they make a decision in time, they can have the trial. But they probably wouldn't have the judgment before he's in office, which means he can kill it. The other thing, too, is they can make their decision in June and say, but we're open to appeals on these subjects. These subjects aren't clear.
And they can also kick it down to the appellate court.
That's what I just said. That's what I meant. Yeah, like they can be like, these things aren't clear. Can you clarify this? Wink, wink.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would be what they would do. And what happened today was them breaking the ice on the fact that they might not go the way you want. And then at the end of the day, they don't make a decision. They're like, look, we're not as bad as you thought we were. We're just confused. Can you guys clarify this? What do you mean that there's an election? Why didn't you tell us earlier? It's like, because we didn't want to make this political. You seem to be, though.
Right.
It's clearly an agenda to do that, right? So when that Absolutely. Happens, just remember, you have this thought here.
And I mean, the Supreme Court doesn't operate in a vacuum, and it acknowledges that. I mean, if you look at Bush-Gore, Supreme Court weighed in very quickly because they understood the stakes at hand. And for them to pretend that there are no stakes here and this is just a run-of-the-mill case is just baffling to me.
No stakes here?
I don't understand
why. You're telling me there's no stakes here?
Right. I don't understand why the American public would have any faith whatsoever in the neutrality of the Supreme Court, given what this court has done the last couple of years. It's a crock of shit and we know it. It's broad daylight.
When you told me that you were surprised, because I was working today, I saw some stuff about it. And most of the stuff I saw about it was questions being asked that I was like, okay, the one you just mentioned. Because Kagan was like, you know, I think, you know, would he be able to assassinate or what did Kagan say? I had a clip about it. It was, if he staged a coup. And they like gave some weaselly answer for it. It was like, oh, well, that was transparent. Like, obviously, you can't take that response seriously. And later on, like hours later, Alan's like, yeah, they kind of didn't answer that the way I was expecting. And so the New York Times said the same thing.
Yeah, essentially they're saying that it appears that the justices are going to limit the 2020 election case against Trump.
What does limit mean?
So at least provide some, they might take some of the
charges
And say those are immune, you know, those fall under presidential actions, and then, you know, sort of split the baby. But in any event, regardless of whether that happens or they send it back to the appellate courts, it doesn't, all of that is almost doesn't matter, because in the way things are right now, we likely won't have a trial before the election. If we do, we likely won't get a, you know, a verdict. And so all that is the 2024 election is even more existential to Trump than previous. Like, that's all that is.
Do you think Biden would
get, it's over.
Do you think Biden would get impeached by the House and Senate if he locked Trump up extrajudicially?
Ooh.
Would the Democrats save him?
I don't know.
I don't think you can count on them the way you can count on MAGA for Trump, right?
Same. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I don't think. I think he would get impeached.
Huh. Yeah, just saying, they say you could do that now, right? Like, that's basically what that, if that's what they decide, then Biden can do whatever he wants.
I mean, that,
as long
that
as
would be
within somewhat reason.
If that's the way they're applying that standard, I mean,
with January 6th as the bar.
Right.
Okay.
I mean,
I think that instills more chaos in our system rather than the assumption we've all, like Nixon and Ford pardoned Nixon because the assumption until apparently 5 minutes ago was right. That things like that will get you in trouble in real life after you're not president anymore.
Yes.
Why did they have the Justice Department memo that said, oh, by the way, we've decided presidents are immune while they're in office? Why would they limit that statement then?
Right. Yeah. Right? I mean,
the,
there was some.
The implication was outside of office, they would need, you know, to be pardoned or, you know, right.
There was some back and forth in the arguments today. One of the justices asked if the internment of Japanese citizens during World War II, you know, obviously, retrospect, that looks a lot worse than it did at the time. And
what's that got to do with it?
Well,
I see.
Could he be held accountable, you know, criminally for allowing that? FDR, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. So the response was like, well, no, because the Attorney General signed off on it and other people in government signed off on it. So
You know what? I think that's a good argument, though.
Yeah. So it wasn't his responsibility.
Right.
And I think that is a good argument. I agree. But yeah, I don't know. Just creating this sort of phantasm, this potential thing that would cripple the president and make them unable to act in challenging situations because they could be, you know, held liable for it later. It hasn't crippled presidents before.
Right.
I mean, up till now.
Right. Yeah.
So why would it going
like,
forward?
He's the one that set the precedent of the unbelievable thing. And when he's being held accountable for it, he's saying, what if somebody did something unimaginable? It's like, you did. That's why you need to face, like, it's not crippled anyone else because they knew that this would happen. Like, you're literally, it's what you said earlier. They're flipping it. And I just can't, it's fucking gaslighting. Like,
it is. It 100% is. I usually hate it when people bring up that term,
right?
But fucking, yeah, in this instance, I think it applies.
It feels like I'm taking crazy pills right now.
Right. I agree. I agree.
Is there any updates? I guess there's no updates in the blackmail trial, right? Or the hush money.
So Pecker did some more testifying today.
Sorry.
God, he's such a weird. He's so like
curvy,
charming, congenial,
veiny.
He smiles. He laughs. Oh.
Throbbing.
You know, I mean, veiny. So he's like so like almost chill on the stand, but he's also when they asked him about his relationship with Trump today, he was like, "No, I love the guy. He's a mentor of mine. He's still, you know, I still consider him a friend." And strangely, of all the people who have sort of, I mean, he's cooperating in this case.
He's playing both sides, kind of though, right?
Yeah, but he kind of is. But he's the one person that Trump has refused to attack. And
do you know why, right?
Yeah, because he probably knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yes, the New York, the National Enquirer is a fucking blackmail agency. Like, yeah, they absolutely. Call it, what does he call it? What kind of checkbook journalism?
Checkbook journalism.
Yeah, yeah. It's a blackmail company. Stores. So I have this on good authority. Here's a story. You know, when I say Tiger Woods and Perkins Waitress, you know about that, right?
Perkins doesn't ring a bell, but I know the story.
A waitress, right?
Yeah.
It was a fucking Perkins, which is weird. No, it wasn't a waitress. It was a hostess. It was a Perkins hostess, which is so... Oh God. You know, a lot of times they're not servers yet because they're not 18.
Right.
I was just going to say, when I was at a restaurant, I don't think any of the girls that hosted were old enough to be waitresses yet. You understand?
I understand.
Okay.
And also you tend to put people at the front of the house have to be,
aesthetically appealing. Yeah, sure. Yes. Sure. Sure. So there, we all know the story about Tiger's fucking, Perkins hostess, because it came out after the divorce and the scandal when everything blew up about Tiger
Woods.
The golf
club to the windshield.
But in like 2008, while it was still like, we would say things like it's all Tiger Woods because it was synonymous with it's all good, right? And it rhymed somehow. Like it's still a phrase, like it's all Tiger Woods. It's like, it was a good thing. So at that
Tiger Woods could do no wrong in 2008.
Yeah, a golden god. Yes.
Yeah.
So do you remember seeing him on the cover of Men's Fitness? And it was like Tiger's workout routine. And that was when everybody's like, holy shit, he looks like a linebacker, right?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
So that was really out of place of him because he was such a walled off. It was like, because Jim Rome always had that bit he would play where it was like, the greens look good. The course feels good. Right. I like my chances. Because he was a robot. Yeah. He always had the same response to everything. Mm-hmm. It was like, why'd he just open up? And it was like, you know, it felt sort of weird that he was doing that. I have it on good authority that National Enquirer found out about the Perkins hostess. And rather than blowing up his spot, they threatened to and said, we'd rather have a scoop. Now, National Enquirer, now I said Men's Fitness, didn't I? National Enquirer is owned by, or they owned the
AMI, was the parent company.
That parent company also owned Men's Fitness. So
correct.
They got a huge cover that in 2024, me and Alan still remember because it was out of place for, it was like, whoa, this is like inside Tiger Woods knowledge. Well, you're like, interesting. Right. That was because they had found out about it.
I don't think that's not even speculation or good authority. That's facts. Like that did happen.
So
I think he's admitted to it.
So the context here is that man got elected through the scheme that he's on trial for in New York. Mm-hmm. And that guy has blackmail on the president. And like Alan suggested so subtly before I went off on this Tiger Woods rant, Trump has no problem making fun of the judge and everybody who can put him in jail.
Yep.
And he's not saying one thing about the witness that's cooperating.
He said
with
he's a very nice man today when he was asked.
Mm-hmm. You tell him I'm a nice man, Donald, and I'll tell him you're a mentor for me.
So, but the story that has come out over his testimony over the last few days has been that so they did the Karen McDougal catch and kill. That was earlier on. In the run-up to the 2016 election, Stormy Daniels was apparently shopping her story around. And so Pecker, as was his, what he did, he brought that up to Michael Cohen and said, look, this is out there. And Cohen was like, okay, we'll just deal with it. And Pecker was like, I can't say his name. He was like, well, here's the thing. Like, I didn't get reimbursed for the McDougal catch and kill. And I don't want to deal with a porn star. Like suddenly he has morals or some shit, whatever. And so Cohen was like, well, I mean, we got to do something. And so ultimately Cohen took out a mortgage, like an extra mortgage on his house to pay it himself. Because he was like, well, we certainly have to quash it.
Are they going to try to make it look like he just did it on his own accord?
Well, so no, I don't think so. So the story that comes out is he's like, I'm not going to do this, but this is out there. Somebody should probably deal with it. So Cohen does it. And then that's where the whole reimbursement thing happens, which was
plus fees,
the falsifying of business records,
which is what makes this fraud, which is the higher crime.
Right. Now, an interesting wrinkle. We actually have another headline that's going to kind of coincide with this. But the Weinstein case was overturned in New York. And the reason that they said that it was overturned was because the judge had allowed witnesses to testify in the case that were not part of the criminal counts that were charged against Weinstein.
Okay. Is this the thing that you were saying was adjacent to Weinstein?
Yeah, exactly. And so now the concern is that McDougal, the story about McDougal, the story about the doorman being paid off, they were brought in as to testify as witnesses in this case, or at least that story was brought up in this case, because they wanted to establish a pattern of behavior. That's what this guy does. But those aren't actually, he's not charged with anything in relation to those. And I think that's partly because of statute of limitations, and maybe they just didn't want to complicate the case. But if that, the precedent in the Weinstein case is set that the judge allowed witnesses to testify that were not part of the things that were charged, then that could potentially apply in the Trump case as well. And then it could be overturned saying, well, why'd you allow the McDougal information in? Why'd you allow the doorman information in when that wasn't part of the relevant facts of the case?
Or at least in appeals, right? Like that'll justify an appeal. Like, is that worth considering? Well, he was a former president. I suppose we should get, this is what did I say last week? What have I said every week? It's just, we're just tuned in to see how he gets out of this.
It does feel like that. I hate that feeling, but it does. It definitely.
Well, it's because today, the legal system has to be transparent. So it's literally the Bond villain being like, I've got you in my trap. Here was my plan the whole time. Definitely don't get out of my trap and press this button.
Right.
I'm going to leave the room for 5 minutes. That's the legal process.
Oh, man. Right. We'll see. I mean, I guess the Supreme Court could surprise us in June, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. We can talk about other stuff later on that. We just did 30 minutes on that. We can.
Probably, I know. Yeah. Right.
An Arizona grand.
That's a big story, though.
Oh, it was a huge story. That's why it was number one. Yeah. And timely, Alan. I appreciate that. An Arizona grand jury indicted 18 people. Oh, this is, speaking of timely. Arizona grand jury indicted 18 people, including Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani for, move your cursor, Alan. God. Arizona grand jury indicted 18 people, including Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani, for alleged involvement in a fake elector scheme to overturn the state's 2020 election results. What is this? A year and a half ago and still considered old news? Why are they just doing this now? Surely
so
you've read
actually
about
the
this.
They apologize actually for it taking so long. But they said they had to, you know, assemble the relevant facts and get all their ducks in a row. Trump is not.
Wasn't Letitia James elected like in 2020? Didn't she like run on that? Or Fani Willis? One of them was like,
Fani's
excuse?
In Georgia.
Yeah, I know. One of those
Fani's
two. One
Georgia.
Of the charges against
Letitia's
him was brought. Alan, what I'm saying is one of the charges brought to against him was brought by a prosecutor or a DA that was just elected in the 2020 election. So it's like, what's your excuse? We didn't have people in place to do this when it happened. Like,
I mean, Arizona politics, I'm sure.
Oh, they've got laws from 1864. They're just coming up to take a look at. That's a good point. That's our next headline.
We actually have a headline. About that, So Trump is not indicted. He's listed as an unindicted co-conspirator, although I guess I heard some people talking today saying potentially he could be added as as a conspirator later on. So maybe they just don't want that smoke right now as everything else is happening with the Supreme Court and other courts. But yeah, this does feel like, I mean, this is fucking years later, right? When all these other cases have been ongoing for quite a while. But I just thought it was interesting and relevant.
It led off the NPR news and it was like the headline for the episode. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was still waking up, you know, I'm like, oh, interesting. Wait,
did I just download an old episode?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I'm like, this is a daily episode. Like, you don't have old shit. Right. What are you, the New York Times talking about shit a week later that you heard first on None Taken? That's all they do now, right?
It does feel like that.
They did that thing on the bird flu on Monday. Natasha's like, I'm so scared. I'm like, I know you listen. I'm not going to get upset. We covered this shit 2 weeks ago. And I said, they're going to make a big deal about this once they get around to it. And then they got around to it. And that was actually a good episode. They got more in depth on it than we did, which was fine. We're, you know.
Yeah.
Talking about
I find myself
things.
Skipping a lot of.
That one was a good one. I don't know.
I listened to that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was a couple of other good ones this week that were also not particularly timely, but they were good. The same with the intelligence. I don't know.
I like the intelligence. I like.
I do too.
Pattern.
But some of them. Yeah. Haven't felt that useful to me.
Oh, I got a clip. I got a clip for next week from the intelligence. Did you listen to today's?
No, I didn't.
Good. They had a segment about cats mating, and they said something that was very funny. You'll like it on the show next week, though.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Just want you to do the next one.
Arizona's House voted to repeal the state's strict 1864 abortion ban that was reinstated by the state Supreme Court, sending it to the Senate. So a couple of Republicans had to cross the line to get this repealed in the House. They've attempted to repeal it in the House a couple other times unsuccessfully. So whatever trading they had to do, horse trading to get this to work this time,
I don't
know. Is
this expected to pass the Senate too?
So again,
because this didn't make any news. Did this happen this morning?
Yeah, it did. So in the Senate, there would also have to be some Republicans to cross the aisle for this to be passed.
Yeah.
Unclear if it will be. If it does, they think that the governor would sign it, but unclear if they can make
it. Democrat governor, I'm sure it would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
New York's top court reversed Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction and ordered a new trial, brand new trial. So that's good, at least, ordering a new trial. Finding the initial trial was not conducted fairly. He remains in prison on a California conviction.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, what is going on? Why are you telling me New York is reversing Weinstein's 2020 conviction? Oh, so he's in prison under two different states?
Yeah, so he was convicted in California and New York both.
So he didn't get let free today?
No, he did not.
And he won't get let free anyways because of the California conviction.
Right.
Who texted us, Alan?
The California
Who texted us?
Sorry?
Who texted us?
It was a Washington Post notification, actually. All right. I turned it off. So the California verdict, I think, was like 16 years, and the New York verdict was like 22, something like that. He's not free by any means. He's still in jail. And they will retry this case. But as I already discussed, the connection between this case and the Trump hush money case could be significant. So there we are.
That's interesting. And I'm glad you talked about that, because in my mind, I didn't know the second thing about the California case.
Okay.
It was really busy today.
Yeah.
Yours.
The DOJ agreed to pay $139 million to victims of former USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar over claims of the FBI mishandling of sexual abuse allegations. This case is pretty fucking gross. But you rarely get a federal agency saying, my bad, we fucked up. That almost never happens.
Well, because what I'm sure you'll say why.
That just doesn't happen, or rarely happens.
Right, because they don't have to.
Right, and for the FBI to say, yeah, we fucked up. They had found child abuse material on a device that he had, and they didn't go anywhere with it. There had been allegations that he was doing things that they didn't pursue.
That gymnast woman, Maloney or Maroney, she had told them about it like 3 years prior, they didn't do anything. At the end of the day, Michigan State's internal investigation at the campus is what led to it.
And even that took too long.
Of course.
But I mean, it was a complete mishandling of this case, and they admitted it and said, yeah, we fucked up. Michigan State has already, agreed to pay a large sum of money as well to the victims of this case. But I mean, people being held accountable, institutions being held accountable is great. But bottom line is no amount of money is going to bring any of those gymnasts' childhood back. Right.
Yeah.
Or,
it was just countless. Just, I mean, wasn't it like over 100? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to get graphic. We're not going to get graphic, but, I will describe something unique about him that without being graphic, you can imagine what's going on. I'll just say it. Keep in mind everything that he was convicted of. He was sort of famous for creating, or he was famous for using a procedure to inspect something in the area where you're not supposed to touch a woman. Mm-hmm. And he was famous for, normally, I guess that's done either from outside the body, like probing, I'm not sure, like the abdomen, or x-rays. And he came up with a clever way to do that from inside the body. And it's just like, dude, what a red flag. Like, just.
Yeah. There were so many.
I don't like telling that story, but I feel like that's, without getting into too much, that's a good example of what the scumbag. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was just so many indicators through so many years that the fact that all of that was ignored is just appalling. It's horrific.
And well, and you can see why it's good they apologize, but, and like you're saying, is unusual.
Yeah, very much.
Tennessee won me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tennessee, some Tennessee ass shit. Tennessee lawmakers passed a bill to allow teachers and other staff to carry concealed handguns in public schools. This is a year after the shooting here in Nashville at the Covington Catholic School, which I drive by frequently, by the way.
So they are requiring the teachers attend 40 hours per year of gun safety and usage in schools, how to react to these sort of incidents, and they have to recertify yearly to do that. The Daily Show had a fun little bit where they satirized, essentially saying that, why are we okay with that sort of education being required for teachers to carry, but not the general public, which I don't think is exactly.
That's not a very tight piece of logic there, but it makes sense. Not. Like I get the inspiration. It does make a little sense.
They made it was amusing. I'll say.
Yeah. Especially if you're curious on the subject.
I'm curious your
well,
thoughts on.
So here's one thing I think. My initial thought was, we'll get some good data out of this. Everybody says how crazy this idea is, and I'm not sure how I like this. I do like the idea of not saying that this is a place where you can go in and there won't be any guns or anybody to shoot back for 30 or 45 minutes until law enforcement goes out and make sure the parents don't go in.
Or maybe hours if you're in Uvalde.
You know what? I was exaggerating, and I thought I gave it enough time to make fun of Uvalde. It was an hour and a half, wasn't it?
Yes.
So that's what I mean, though, right? So like, if you do remove that from it, it would be interesting to see the before and after data. And we were already a state that this is really interesting data, and it sucks as it's human lives, but that we were a state that you can look at up until 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we became constitutional carry. So what it was like, you can look at that number, which is in our modern era of gun violence, right?
Right.
And then you can look at the time or the data from what I think 2021 or 2022 through now. And then you can look at the data from that time period, and you may be able to prove that this is a good idea. And I mean, like, I at minimum, knowing that it isn't just one inept failed cop that's there as a safety officer, which wasn't in Parkland. He was like the only one that was willing to do anything, right? Or was he one of the ones that got shit for? You know, I don't remember. Yeah, I think that will be interesting. In terms of that versus the general public, you know, the general public isn't a place where you send your kids and expect them to be safe all day.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I would point out is it is an opt-in. So it's not like teachers are required to carry weapons.
Interesting, because that was the way it was portrayed. Every teacher is going to be packing, like Mrs. Blackwell, that lady. Jesus, she's an idiot. I could imagine Mrs. Blackwell or Walensky. Miss Walensky used to do this during the whole class. When, you know, the jokes were made that there was something in her chair. But like Miss Walensky with a handgun. Oh, my goodness.
Probably don't want that. Yeah. So it is an opt-in situation. It's like you have to carry to be a teacher. So, yeah, I mean,
and they're certified and they have to remain certified yearly. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
I mean, and that's more hours than you're required to take for sexual harassment training.
Do you know what? That's a good point. That's a great
significantly
point.
Significantly more.
Yeah. And it's fun. You get to go shoot your gun a few times, right?
Right.
Cool. You get to go do some target practice. That sounds good.
We shall see. As you said, it will be
paid for. Is that paid for by the state, or do they have to do it out of pocket?
Oh, you know what? I did not get to that level.
You know what? I would do it. I would especially do it just to be like, yeah. And like, once a year, the government pays for me to shoot my gun for a week. Like, that sounds great. 40 hours, yeah. Man.
That's a week off.
40 hours?
Yeah.
That's kind of a long time.
That is a long time.
Every year? Or no, one every 40 year. Hour and then a reassessment.
As far as I understood it, it's 40 hours yearly required.
That's a lot. Nobody's doing that, man. They're just going to bring their gun in there, and then they're going to save the day, and they're going to be like, oopsies, I forgot to stay up to date. What are you going to do?
Right. Didn't have my certification this year.
Cares.
All right, moving on. Israel's military intelligence head resigned over failures to prevent the October 7th Hamas attack, making the first such high-level resignation.
It's like 200 days
so again
later.
You opt in you often don't see responsibility taken by
what's BB doing, like
BB
doubling down, throttling on, because he knows the only good reaction for everything was fucked for him politically, and the best thing that happened to him was to have the distraction of this war. It's like genocide, schmenocide. I'm gonna be in jail if we go back to what we were talking about before October 7th.
Yes,
I need to keep escalating. Let's Putin this shit. Like, it's exactly what's going on. We don't have good things to say about Israel. I have bad things to say about students being idiots.
Same. He absolutely will not take responsibility. I should be
on record saying there are some very intelligent and reasoned people in that group. And I think they outnumber the other people. But you got some problems going on there. And, you can say they're being infiltrated so that they can... I don't know, man. Like... You're inviting everyone you can to come down there. And I think you're creating a bigger problem than you're getting pop for.
Yeah. I think the clip that we played in the secret track is evidence of that. Yeah.
I don't have to rehash that.
So there was some talk of people, taking responsibility for what happened on October 7th before this. And a lot of the reaction was, well, we're at war now. We need these people in place. We can't just, we can't just leave our jobs because we feel bad about what happened when we're important right now. Things matter.
Said in Trump, it's like, well, I got to work there so that I can control Trump.
Right. So this particular individual said, hey, it's been long enough. I take responsibility. My intelligence agency failed. So, yeah. And I see your note and I agree.
Okay. Was that me? Yeah. Google fired 28 employees citing disruptive behavior for participating in sit-in protests at Google offices over the firm's $1.2 billion billion dollar cloud computing contract with the Israeli government. So in this instance, you've got a direct thing that you're saying, I don't want to be involved in. And it sounds like they're saying, I'm willing to lose my job for this. And here's how I'll protest. And okay. And when the consequences come that you should probably expect, because you don't mean
anything. Fucked around and you found out.
Well, and you're replaceable. They just fired 22% of their staff. There's people that can just, hey man, real sorry. Can I hire you for less? Right? Like they're going to, like there's a bunch of people in that industry, right?
Yeah. And
what do you think you are, a mechanic? I mean, I could I don't think I can, but.
Google sent a memo out to all of its.
Hi, Mike.
All of its Googlers, as they call them.
No.
Their employees. Yeah, they
call them Googlers. Is that a word?
That's what the memo actually says.
It's gay.
Hey, Googlers.
Wow.
They said, if you think that you can violate our terms and get away with it, you absolutely cannot. I just somehow turned on my Google Assistant by saying something I said.
Oh, you said, hey, Googlers.
That's probably what happened. Yeah. Everybody's so they funny. Said, no, yeah, absolutely not. We will not tolerate this behavior. And these were things that happened like on campus in buildings, not like they were protesting on the street somewhere. So they were.
Is this your example of chaining yourself to a copier? Did somebody do that?
Yeah, that was. I mean, that didn't happen. Oh, but they were blocking access to certain rooms or trying to block.
So they're being disruptive to the business flow.
The business.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So it wasn't.
I mean, you got to understand that that's going to probably cost you your job. I mean, I would if I felt passionately, I would do that. And know the consequences. Yeah, you don't get like you don't complain. Like you find out, and you don't say I fucked around. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
I you know what? I'm not hearing anything from them. So seems like they knew the bargain.
That they're fake.
Yeah.
So, but just further evidence of what's going on and how charged this topic is.
Oh, I get it. I mean, I don't see any headlines here about mass graves. Like it's upsetting. Like I don't have anything good to say about it. I also understand that. What I just said about BB needing to escalate everything after he was about to go to jail for all his briberies and shit like that. Mistresses, in his words.
And his attempt to
repeal the judicial system,
Department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I get it. And I also understand what governments like that, like ours, do after events like 9/11. Like, I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it. I'm also not happy that Hamas thought that was a good fucking idea to do. Like, I'm not callous about any of this. I'm just saying, like, none of these things happen without the other inputs. And they're not false equivalents. They're one of them may have more weight than the other. But I just can't only look at one of those things. And, I wish we could just come on here and talk about mass graves and how horrific that is, right? People in scrubs with found in a grave wearing handcuffs. Like, that is outrageous.
Yes. Yeah, next to hospitals. Yes. Yes, it is outrageous and horrific. Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like there is effective protest for that. We could even go march down streets and do that. You know, there are ways, like, people organize and do that. We can do that. But you're shutting down a public place where you pay money to go to. And I get it. You know, if you're paying money, Exit Voice and Loyalty, I guess that's voice. But this manner that they're doing that, they keep calling it free speech and it's not. And the way that, whether they want that move, like when you get inspired by what I just described about the mass graves, you don't want that movement to be hijacked by all of these bad people, but it has, and you need to regroup and do something else. You don't, like, doubling down is,
you can't
only
ignore it.
And it's undermining the entire message. And we spin the show talking about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we talked about it.
This should be
too,
a fucking lesson. Like the mass graves are more important. The Palestinian kids are more important, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. The UK and Germany charged 5 people with spying for China this week, including a high profile researcher for a UK political party. So they're saying that they, in one instance, that they took some proprietary laser technology and gave it to China. Yeah. And then potentially some sort of weapon systems. And then as well as just giving them inside information about the goings on of government. So this is after the Prime Minister of Germany, I want to say, just visited Xi in Beijing, trying to sort of calm the relations between Europe and China. And this sort of
Blinken's offsets, there today, right?
Yeah. Sort of offsets any sort of warm relations that may have been fostered then. Mm-hmm. China's, of course, saying, no, we didn't do that. But it seems kind of like their MO, like what they usually do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not surprised by this at all.
Normally, they just get it from tank game message boards.
Right.
By the way, here's the blueprint, Discord. Idiot. You don't know what the, you know, range capacity or whatever it is. You know what the magazine looks like. I have the blueprints. Look, I can't believe that keeps happening. There's like 5 listeners that don't know that story, right?
Yeah, I think people know
that's it. So funny. People are getting into arguments on message boards so that they can get people to give over. Well, whether they're doing it intentionally or not, people are getting mad and then posting blueprints to classified documents to prove their argument. And then it stays in the message board. So other people are there. Like, hey,
and now you've shared classified information.
As it happens, you just hire whoever you can. The Biden administration. No, the U.S. U.S. agreed to withdraw its roughly 1,000 troops from Niger. Interestingly, the next day, other people are like, no, actually, it's still under negotiation. So he misspoke, but I'll read the headline anyway. U.S. agreed to withdraw its roughly 1,000 troops from Niger. They're used for counterterrorism there. After the ruling junta terminated a military cooperation accord. So the government got overthrown. The people that are running the government now, that we haven't recognized, probably won't recognize, even if they're there for 50 years. They demanded that we leave and they tore up the contract basically. And we're like, yeah, that's cool. That's a like multi-million dollar drone base. Mm-hmm. So, no, like that's where we launch our drones from in that region. So yeah, no, like, sorry, you don't get to tell us not to. So we argued over that for a while, and then we've said that we're going to withdraw him. And then a spokesperson came out this morning or yesterday, I heard it this morning, and said, no, that guy misspoke. So either he's lying or he is trying to pretend like there's negotiations to get negotiations going. I don't know where it stands at this point, but that's,
I think that's still up in the air as well. Yeah.
Do you think he would just go out and lie? I mean, I'm not saying they're honest people. I'm saying typically when they wouldn't just lie, they have a way of it not being a lie, you know? Oh, yeah, it's not a lie. This guy was talking to that guy. That's negotiations.
It may not entirely be the truth, but it's probably at least partially the truth.
Truth enough. So, truthiness.
Truth adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually has some consequences because, as you said, it is a drone base, and there's a lot of activity over there right now.
We just
now.
Built that base. Like, it's a very expensive new base.
Yeah.
Do we have a bunch of troops there, too?
Not a bunch.
Oh, well, you have 1,000. And those troops aren't really going anywhere because of what happened, right? So they're like not rotating out and stuff like that.
As of right now, as I understand, they're still holding in place, but
it's probably not good.
Situation's not great.
Yeah.
And it's moving quickly. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Your turn.
The Biden administration issued new rules requiring airlines to provide automatic cash refunds for canceled or significantly delayed flights and disclose fees. So it's like if you have a domestic flight that's delayed by more than, I want to say like, I don't know if it's 5 or 6 hours, then you can request a refund and they have to do it.
I think it was 3 hours.
Is it 3 hours? Okay. International flights, I want to say, is 12 hours.
Huh.
But it's weird to me that we already didn't have this sort of thing in place.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I guess like
the government loves the airline industry, though.
Right, right. A lot of this came up during the pandemic when people had booked flights that they no longer wanted to take because of the risk involved, or when flights were canceled by airlines because the demand just fell away. And so I guess that's kind of where a lot of this stemmed from. There was a lot more public outcry about the way the airlines were dealing with this stuff. And so the administration decided to deal with that now.
I put up a story post saying, because we got a few aviation nerds in our community. I said, I wonder how this will impact flight safety, because you know I'm an anxious flyer. And we got a guy conveniently named Loadmaster.
The ultimate load.
Not now, Alan. Why would you say that now? You know Loadmaster. Why would you say that?
I do know Loadmaster.
Airlines will act like it's a massive impact on their bottom line. They may start to push maintenance harder. So I think that means like they'll have to push the maintenance guys to work harder. Like you guys got to do faster, right?
Squeeze more out of them.
That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah. But he doesn't think it's going to have a significant effect. So I don't know. I'm always anxious about all that shit. I can imagine it's like, look, I don't care. Let's get that bird up in the air. That's marginal. Let's make a decision to go. And that probably like 1 in 1,000.
That's what Boeing did.
1 in like 10,000 times probably doesn't have any consequences, but I don't want to look up how many flights there are a day.
Right. I actually just picked up a Audible book based on a listener's recommendation about Boeing.
Oh, God.
Called Flying Blind, which I haven't started yet, but it's supposed to be really good.
I think that same listener talked to me, and I wonder if it's the same person. I think we got to dance around that carefully. I got another book right before they recommended that to me from another listener about my anxiety, and it's called Ask the Pilot. Shouts out to Brian. He also recommended the saxophone Brian's the guy that got me in touch with Real Big Fish and got the saxophone recommendation.
Oh, right. Okay.
By the way, I'm doing pretty good with my Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. I'm doing pretty good on that one now.
Right on.
I started picking up the Tennessee Waltz so that I can learn like the original of it, because Sam Cooke does a version where I was like, oh shit, it could sound like that. I forgot. Okay. So once I know the original, I can start cutting corners and stuff. That was what it was like for me, because I had to learn Saturday Night on my own without sheet music. And I wanted to play a note for every word. And then I realized, no, it's not.
Right.
No, it's da 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 da.
Sustained.
Yeah, you got to sort of swing it. Yeah. Anyway, right. Why was I saying all of that? Oh, the book he recommended was Ask the Pilot. And it's kind of like what I do at parties when I find out somebody's a pilot. I'm like, oh, maybe you're going to make my anxiety go away tonight. And I talked to them for hours.
Play 20 questions.
Didn't work. Yeah, but yeah, there was, do you remember that pilot? There was a big time listener on TMOS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Joel. I met. Joel? Which one was it?
I think it was Joel.
I think you're right. Joel was the name I was thinking too. We have a Joel that's into aviation. I wonder. No, he's not a pilot though. He works in another industry. Anyways, Joel. I talked to him at one of the TMOS live shows, and it actually helped the most. That was where I had the realization of it's just like there's strata to the air, just like on, you know, a lake, and you're just, you're in a stream. So it's okay if you move around. The wings will keep you off the ground. Don't worry.
Right.
It doesn't work when I'm scared though. I remember being a kid and flying over. My dad lived in Denver. I would take off in San Diego. One of the, like, they always say it's a crazy airport to land in, but I would fly from San Diego to Denver over the Rockies. And I didn't care about turbulence. I remember thinking it was fun at times. But like, I don't know what happened to me. Funny. You get in your 30s and all of a sudden,
you know, I landed in San Diego and took off.
Never a thing. It's not.
I didn't really notice it.
You're like, buildings are kind of at plane level. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like that big of a deal to me.
It's not. People exaggerate it. They're like, pilots hate it. Well, all right. Your turn, I think.
It's yours.
I just did that one about flying.
Oh, I thought, okay. High-speed passenger rail line.
Oh, yeah, I did that one. Or you did that one. High-speed passenger rail line between Las Vegas and Los Angeles began construction. Oh, it's only $12 billion. Over under 10X. Over under 10X.
I'm going to say over, and I'm guessing they're going to do the pedestal before the monkey yep. and only complete the easy parts.
Now, it is mostly flat to get there. That
well, and I don't know if you are aware of this, but they're planning to – most of the track is actually going to run down the middle of I-15.
The middle?
The middle of I-15 is
– I know. I heard you the first time. That goes up the hill. Like, you should have gone out the 10 and then up. Since it's high speed, you can make up for it in timing.
I don't know which parts won't, but it's like the majority of it.
They've got to do that. So when we talk about monkeys and pedestals, it's, you know, if you want to complete this project where you have monkeys that juggle flamethrowers standing on a pedestal, you don't start with the pedestal. You start with the hard part, which is training a monkey to juggle flamethrowers. And right. the government always does the easy part first, just to like right. say we did something. So
that's why we have like part of the California high-speed line between like Fresno and fucking
flat land, because the hard part with rail is going uphill. Well, the uphill with Vegas to San Diego or to California to Los Angeles is I don't know which mountains those are. I forget now. But you know, Big Bear and up to Victorville mm-hmm. and all that shit into
the high desert up there.
Yeah, yeah. What is that up there? Baker, Barstow. Yeah, it's all one high speed burn from Bakersfield, Barstow, and Verdue. And you're another, like, another freak off to Santa Monica. You're another freak in the freak kingdom. You get it. I'm glad you get it.
I get it.
So yeah, the hard part is going up and over the mountains. They're not going to do that first. Yeah. And the 15 goes through the mountains. I thought they would take the 10 out and then up over, but I guess that doesn't work.
Article said the 15, so.
Dumb. It's going to be a waste of money. And I shouldn't have let you guess on the over. Yeah, 100% that's going over 10 times. So yeah. $12 billion. Wow. Remember the initial one? Obviously, you know it'll be more than $12 billion. Surely it won't be more than 20, 30 billion, 40, 50, 60 billion, 70 billion, 80 billion, 100, 120 billion. You think it'll be more than that? I bet it will. I think you're right. I think you're right. They're proven wrong every time.
I mean, if history yes. serves, then exactly. yes.
Yeah.
Right. Apple removed WhatsApp, Threads, Telegram, and Signal from its China App Store after a government order over national security concerns. So I left this in mostly because there's a lot of talk about TikTok in our country right now, and the bill has passed where ByteDance is given 9 months to divest itself of TikTok or have the app banned in the U.S.
And then TikTok was like, no, we will rather die than lose our... We can make billions of dollars, mm-hmm. Hundreds of billions probably of dollars, or we can just not make any and keep the algorithm. And that doesn't look suspicious at all, right? Doesn't that sound like you're doing this all for CCP in China? Like if that was what the government's claim was and your response is, oh, we'd rather just burn it all on fire than accept hundreds of billion dollars and lose the algorithm. Like, okay, well, yeah, that's kind of confirming people's claims.
Right.
But go on.
Right. So I'm not, so I don't want to suggest that we should be like,
no,
China.
Because this applies to any foreign government-owned app, and it lists what foreign adversarial entities are as a description. And it says if there are apps that are a majority owned by them or a certain percentage owned by them, then the government can demand the same thing that they're doing to TikTok, right?
Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, equate our system to theirs. However, I do want to point out that China has and continues to put a lot of roadblocks in front of American-based multinational companies, Google, Apple, they bend over backwards to do business in China, and they have for years. And so it's not like us throwing this out there is completely just like,
that's a good point. Actually, that is actually, I haven't heard enough people really say that way.
I thought it was a good point to make.
You know, after I said it, I was like, I think he said something like that before and I didn't understand him. Yeah, that is a good point. I'm glad you said it twice, Alan. Yeah. Yeah. So we operate in their market, which is not like anybody else, to the extent that they're like, we want to fucking change the world. So you guys have to deal with our preferred way of dealing with it. Because whenever we do things that piss you off, we have to pay consequences for it. So like, we want to just change it. And all our companies like, oh, whatever you say to have access to your billions of people. And, right. and then they're, and the second we ask them for anything, they're like, no, go fuck yourself, like Elon.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They're Elon Musk at the conference. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. The concern I have over the government overreach in the way that I perceive this as is not as high as the concern of the threat that I see. Is that,
I can see that.
I hate performing that kind of calculation because that always bites me in the ass. But I guess we won't have the counterfactual of what they do. I mean, we're seeing what they're willing to do if they lose control of it. Then, I mean, we're also seeing that, like, you look at the most popular hashtags, right? And it's all like Free Palestine and stuff like that. And people are like, oh, that's what the government wants to do. They want to kill it so that it's not a problem for them anymore. They've been working on this since Trump was in office. Like, don't be so short-sighted. Trump wanted this before he needed money from the ByteDance guy. Right?
Exactly.
Or TikTok guy. But then, you know, you look at China and they ban all of these things. Wikipedia is banned in China, right? Like, so it's like, okay.
Or at least heavily censor other things.
So you should go fuck yourself about this, actually. Like, like, this actually is a kind of reasonable thing to request. So
yes,
it is unreasonable to demand they divest, but I don't know what other solution there is. And this isn't, so I'm all about like marketplace of ideas and the market deciding things, but we have to accept the fact that in the age that we're in with social networks, that is a new market. It's not the same thing as the marketplace. And we have to accept,
that statement, I
undersold that and I don't know how to say it better. Like, can I just say it twice for emphasis?
Yeah,
like we talk about the marketplace of ideas and how we need to let these social media and things that happen in the social media sphere shake place through the marketplace of ideas, but we're layering a new thing that actually is its own marketplace and in many ways supersedes the existing marketplace of ideas and talking about it as if it's a component of the other one that it's actually like overtaking and consuming. And we need to treat it differently. We need to figure out how to, and we'll probably be wrong a few times. Okay, I'm done now.
We also have to admit that there are malevolent state actors out there and that they are absolutely going to use all of these social media platforms to do the best to push their incentives forward, right? Like China, Russia,
the French.
They are going to use these platforms to, you know, project what they want to project on the world stage, to fuck with American democracy politically.
Promote frog eating and snail eating and all the other stuff that the French do.
To agitate political dissent, all of these things. We can't, like, pretend that doesn't exist.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And so, you know, that's part of the math here.
No, you're right.
All right.
We talked about it in the last episode about bullies, right? Like, we like to think of the way that we prefer to interact with each other, but then, you know, not to make everything about Trump, but it's the same way where it's like, no, like, the outlier did something outrageous. Like, you can't just be like, we live in a world where people don't do that. Like,
no. Yeah. Actually, there's another news article that kind of touches on something that's pretty interesting.
Tesla?
Yeah, I think it's me, right?
No, it's me.
Yeah. No, it's you. It's you.
Tesla reported a 9% drop in Q1 revenue. That's the biggest drop since 2012, as the electric car maker said it will accelerate. Ha! Car words.
Pun intended.
Will accelerate plans to launch cheaper models. But initially, they were going to make cheaper models because they were going to revolutionize their manufacturing process. And in their recent conference call, they're like, we're going to make the cheaper models on our existing manufacturing process. Also, if you ask hard questions about when those are coming out, what their prices are going to be, the best answer I can tell you is sooner than you'd think, which is not an answer.
Yes. Which is a very Elon sort of response. I mean, bottom line is there's a lot more competition in EVs than there was a few years ago.
Trump wants to do 100% tax from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, China's in the game. They're making lower cost EVs, and it is having impact on Tesla. As well as in the U.S. domestic market, there's a lot more companies are making EVs, not just the big three, but other companies are doing that, Rivian, Polestar, et cetera. So there's a lot more competition in the market. And I think that you could also argue that Elon hasn't done himself any favors in attracting consumers based on his public, I mean,
go fuck yourself.
You mean that?
Yeah. Yeah. And if I was a shareholder, I'd be fucking
pissed. I kind of want him to not be. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of Elon at this point. As like somebody could be more innovative in charge of Tesla right now.
I would be very
look like what's the story arc of like when you try to talk about late to industrialize countries, it's mm-hmm. always some authoritarian structure where they put state funding into all of the industry. And then once they get that going up to speed, they start to bring in the market into it, whether they do it intentionally or not. That tends to be the method that countries mm-hmm. rapidly industrialized, right?
Right.
Well, Elon's that strong man. He put the company into a good position. You need to maybe let the market decide things better than the guy who's very distracted over at Twitter. Let me just open Twitter and see what it fucking suggests to me. It's insane.
Oh, God. I it's just
when I log in on my computer, it's not yeah. my it's not what I see on my phone. So this is what you get when you don't subscribe. Here we go. I'm not even pre-reading this. Late last year, several ex-employees were threatened by a guy with a machete outside Walgreens on Market in San Francisco. They didn't report it because that doesn't constitute an arrestable crime in California. That guy later killed three people. It was what, they put a tracker on him?
I mean, it's outrage posting. It's trying to.
Dude, I've got three. Like, hold on. Let me share this shit. This is what you get. Why do I get three Elon posts in a row?
Yeah, that whole platform is just a dumpster fire. Jeez.
Oh yeah. Oh, and then I got a Mike Tyson and Diddy video. Oh, I got a shark. That's kind of fun. Oh. But that's the fourth one down.
Yeah. Oh, and there's more.
Yep. Just outraged people with a bunch of emojis in the fucking title. Or,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think I have a whole lot more to say about that. Should I just hit this last one here real quick?
And we yeah, can I'm just watching a video where a truck's losing tires, taking shit out on the road. It's an 18 wheeler. It can lose a lot of tires apparently before they... tires.
That's why
he's hit that light bulb. Whoa. Okay, I'm going to close this. Sorry. Your turn.
The U.S. economy grew at a 1.6% annualized rate in Q1, well below expectations of 2.4% GDP growth. This comes also as we have some inflation news coming out, worse than expected.
Again? Is that 2 months in a row now?
Again, yeah. Uh-oh. And so the Fed meets next week, I want to say, and there had been some...
Not this quarter, but the next quarter, and now they're not going to do it the next quarter, and probably not the one after.
Yeah, maybe exactly. Raise rates, so there had been some hope that there would be rate cuts at this meeting. That seems almost impossible now. The market is completely, you know, saying that's not going to happen. And at this point, we'll be lucky if we get a rate cut in September.
That's what I was saying.
Market watchers are saying, and we may only get one or two this year, if any at all.
I don't. So what are you even talking about? No way, man. You're having 2 months like this in a row. Like,
yeah.
And isn't, I guess Q1's normally slow though, right?
Yeah, but this,
not by this now, is, not this late.
Not,
yeah.
Not this late. So this is where potentially the whole Bidenomics thing, comes off the wheels, you know. It was a gamble, was a risk for them to brand it like that. And they thought it was a risk worth taking. You know, we'll see in November if it was. I guess.
The enormity of their stupidity is.
Got a couple of in other news.
We do have a couple of in other news. All right, this one's hilarious. You put this one in here. This is hypersexual zombie cicadas that are
turns the frickin' birds gay.
They're infected with sexually transmitted fungus.
Say that all again. Say that all again. Those are a lot of words.
It's a lot of words. Hypersexual zombie cicadas that are infected with
sexually... They're already like born to fuck because they're only alive for... No, there's right like down a week born to two, fuck. Yeah. Probably don't say... Probably don't show a call.
Born they're infected with sexually transmitted fungus expected to emerge this year. So it actually only impacts currently about 5% of the population of cicadas.
That's a lot of cicadas, dude.
A lot of cicadas. So this is very bizarre. So, and they don't quite understand how this fungus evolved. But obviously to interact with a creature like a cicada, which is only active once every, what, like
17 years, 13 years, there's different broods. Yeah.
Right. It had to be. For this fungus to survive in that sort of environment, there had to be some pretty tricky evolution happening here.
Wait, are you telling me there's like zombie fungus right below the surface where the cicadas are living? What? Which is a matter of time till someone digs somewhere they shouldn't have, licks their shovel like a weirdo.
Yeah. Well, then you get Last of Us. It's all over. All right. So the way this fungus operates.
I was hoping you'd tell this.
Okay. So.
This is disturbing.
So the fungus takes out their abdomen and makes their genitals fall out. And in the place of it, you have this like sticky sort of fungus sticking out where their genitals should be, the back end of the cicada.
I'm getting okay? so fucking now, hard, Alan.
When that fungus. So. The cicadas try to mate. Obviously, they can't because their genitals are gone, but they have this fungus. So that fungus then is transmitted to the cicada they try to mate with. Now, the even crazier thing is cicadas typically, like the females will flash their wings to attract mates, and the males make a noise. The males who are infected with this fungus will do both. So they attempt to attract both male and female.
Oh, this is like the female attraction stuff, like this sound?
Yeah.
They do that like a bunch.
Exactly, sir. Exactly. So the male cicadas will attempt to attract mates as a female cicada. So essentially they're attracting both males and females to exponentially.
Just to get them to come around this fungus. Is it is it transmissible?
Yes.
They're only alive for the only thing that's saving all of us is they only live for 24 hours.
It's transmissible through sex or
dude, hold on. Like, is this going to happen to like a deer or something? And we're going to have deer with this? Like,
well, I mean,
why is this happening to the cicadas?
They don't know.
John Cicada.
There are examples of fungi jumping species, certainly. But they're not speculating that this could happen here. But they don't really know that much about it.
How do they still live with their abdomen and genitals removed? Because just because of the way that bugs work,
because of the way they look, they only live for a short period of time anyways. So yeah, if you look at the pictures, it's very bizarre.
I don't want to look at the pictures, Alan.
Come pig.
Alan's looking at the picture,
like,
saying
like beautiful cock. That's a good looking cock.
Like the butt of the cicada is replaced completely with this just like white chalky thing. It's weird to see. Actually, the picture they have in this article is somebody, it's like on somebody's finger, and I'm like, I wouldn't want to hold that shit. You can see the person's like thumb in the background. But yeah, pretty fucking bizarre, dude. So don't eat any cicadas this year.
I want to eat cicadas.
Didn't Don eat
some cicadas? Yeah, he said they taste like peanut butter. Yeah. I want to eat a cicada. Oh, you can tell if they have an app. No, you don't know. Maybe they just fucked.
No, you don't know. Yeah. No eating cicadas for you. The ultimate load. What if your dick fell off and you'd be replaced?
My abdomen.
That would suck.
Yeah.
All right. This next one. Oh, so this was from the Atlantic. Can I do it without the intermediary thing?
No, unless you have an Atlantic subscription. Did you open it already and read it?
I did already.
Okay, you'll see the beginning of it then.
Okay. So this is What Donald Trump Fears Most. This is by David Axelrod.
Who's David Axelrod?
He's a pretty famous conservative.
No. No.
Wait, no. Not conservative. Who was I thinking of? David Axelrod was part of the Obama administration.
Yes, he was a political consultant and campaign manager of politicians out of Chicago, leading ultimately to him getting Obama.
I was thinking of the guy who was on the Neil Lehrer NewsHour. I can't think of his name right now. Anyways, so this article is essentially about what he purports in this article is that Trump grew up, his father taught him that there were losers and there were killers, essentially. And so only suckers lose, right? And so he sort of lived his life that way. I mean, gotten him all the way to the presidency.
My life a quarter mile at a time.
Right, exactly.
It's all about family.
Just like Vin Diesel. And so at this point, when he's sitting in the courtroom, which he's required to do in the hush money case, he has to be there. He has no control over what happens in that room. He has no power there. And he's just forced to sit there and watch the proceedings happen.
What if he has to make potty?
I suppose they have a
bathroom break or a latrine.
They have bathroom breaks. Okay. Right? Yeah. So he's saying, look, he might actually have to face some consequences, and he knows it. And he says you can sort of see it in his face as he's sitting there at the trial. This is the first, honestly, this is really maybe the first time in his life he's ever had to face actual consequences for actions.
Like, and it sucks that all the other ones are getting whittled away so much, because this one is the weakest argument. Like, do you honestly think that there's any way they convict him in New York? I am persuaded by the people that say, oddly enough, none of this is a crime.
Yeah. I think it's,
I'm also persuaded by the people that say, no, here's why it is. But the fact that you've got 12 people making it up and one person just has to think one way, I can't imagine 12 people agreeing on this.
Yeah. The fact that only one juror would have to say, no, I don't agree.
And if they get a rural juror on there,
it's a very high bar to clear.
Somebody hasn't watched 30 Rock.
A rural juror.
It's fun to say. We both said it just fine, actually.
We did.
It's like Arnold. Arnold Paul. This is hard because I've had a beer and a half. Arnold.
Sure. Palmer. Blame it on that. All right. Should we get into media? Alan.
Yeah. Oh, Natasha likes it when I say shut up, Alan. Yeah. What have you been watching?
I started Fallout. I like it.
Good.
It's
how
good.
Far into it are you? Just good, huh?
I only got through the one first episode.
Okay, yeah, sure. I had high hopes for the rest of the season, but I was I wasn't like not sold on it, but I was like, you haven't got the full tone and you don't know.
Right, I haven't got.
You don't know yet how, and I did kind of spoil the fact that all of the storylines eventually intermesh enough by the end of the first season that you're like, okay, you're not just doing game one, game two, game three.
Right.
The whole universe is told.
I'm excited to complete the series, but overall, yeah, I think they did a pretty good job.
Did you notice that thing about the army, the people in the Brotherhood? That was, I think, the wokeism in the casting. Did you notice it or was it not noticeable?
I don't think I noticed that.
No. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes, and I like the way they're dealing with the storylines currently. So yeah.
Good. And you played most of the games?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you play New Vegas?
No, I didn't play New
Vegas. That's controversial, right?
I've heard that. I've seen memes about it.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand them, but yes.
Apparently that's the only real one.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay, the rest exist in some sort of...
No, I think that's a dividing line in the culture war somehow.
Understood. Okay. Yeah. Understood. I didn't get to finish that Zizek film yet, so I'm going to reserve judgment on it. But
did you start it before the last episode?
I did start it. Yeah.
Do you want to send it to me? Should I watch it? How long is it? Where is it available?
It's like an hour and 20 or something. It's long.
Where do I watch this?
YouTube. So when I finish it, I will. If I think it's worth it, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Which I'll finish probably this weekend.
Okay. Yeah. I watched, we've been wanting to watch Three Body Problem, but I feel like I can tell that's going to be a big thing. Mm. So I kind of wanted to hold off on it.
Okay.
Binge it? Because I know I'm going to binge it.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's going to be over, and then we'll wait at least a year till another season.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I can tell just like looking at how it is in the culture that it's going to be, especially when you see producers from Game of Thrones in on it, you're like, well, you're either going to have a bunch of Starbucks cups in it because that's their favorite thing to do. or, you know, this is going to be an epic series. And so I've been holding off on the Three Body Problem. And Natasha's like, well, do you want to watch that or this one that I keep hearing my friends talk about called Baby Reindeer? And I'm like, fine, let's just press the button. We'll start Baby Reindeer. Almost like ripping a Band-Aid off. Like, no, we'll do that before we debate about this anymore. Because otherwise you spend an hour looking for a show.
Right.
And you're like, I guess we'll just watch Friends and fall asleep. Oh my God, we're at the last season and a half of Friends and it's so fucking bad. All the jokes are so bad. They're just bad puns and they're unreasonable situations. And it's just, how can we get everybody to be dating before this is over?
Right.
God, it's so...
I don't think I watched that last season or two.
I've noticed. I don't think I watched the last four seasons. But then there's things where I was like, oh, I knew this happened because it was probably on a magazine cover.
It was culturally Friends when it was on.
Oh, my God. Jennifer Aniston has a new haircut.
It was the biggest thing ever.
Yeah. I said Aniston. I can't not say Jennifer Aniston. Okay, so we watched Baby Reindeer. Baby Reindeer is about opening scene, this... woman walks into a bar where this Scottish guy works and it's in the UK. I don't know where it is. I forget. No, it's in London. And this woman walks into the bar and he starts off saying like, I can't believe I felt sorry for her. And it's about like It's about a stalker.
Okay.
And it's about... God, it's hard to say what it's about without ruining it.
Where is this?
It's on Netflix. Look, okay, ultimately, I recommend this, but this shit's fucking heavy. And like either episode...
Is it a movie or a series?
Episode 4 or 5. I want to say 4. It really crosses a line. And you're like, okay, this is what we're dealing with. And I got to... Okay. I got to say, just so it doesn't surprise... No, I don't want to surprise... Look, very obviously, this show is going to deal with sexual content. And it's dealt with in a way in that episode that... It's heavy. Like going to sleep afterwards, you're like, God, I'm still thinking about that. You know?
Okay.
And the way people are taken advantage of and keep it to themselves. And then you watch it in a way you're like, well, this is the way that maybe everyone has or does, or enough people that you should just kind of assume everybody kind of has these things. But not only that, like how one can put themselves in a position too, right? But it starts off with this woman that comes into the bar who they portray her right away as, I didn't know if she was crazy and how she was crazy. And how, like one of the first gags they make is she emails him nonstop. And she finishes her emails with "sent from my iPhone." But when he met her, she had a flip phone, like a track phone or something. And you're just like, what the fuck? Like, you don't have an iPhone. Why are you typing "sent from my iPhone" on your phone? You know,
oh, weird.
In your emails. Yeah. Just weird shit. Like,
Okay.
I'm not going to say like it pays off by the end. So if that makes you really uncomfortable, pass, but it's really well told. It's well written. It's a true story. You're going to be mad at the main character, but sympathize him. If that makes sense. Even at the end, I think you're going to be like, I can't fucking believe you. Like, but it's his story and it deals with sexuality and it's very interesting. I recommend Baby Reindeer, but not for any of you immature none taken listeners, which I can't imagine.
You know, I never would have guessed by the name of it that it was that deep of a show. I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's not a kid's show. Yeah. Baby Reindeer, probably misleading with the title, and it's a cartoon. Yeah. Did I tell you that?
Wait, are you serious?
No.
It's animated? Yeah.
Then we watched the first episode of The Three Body Problem, and I was like, well, yep, I want to watch another episode, but I'm not gonna because I need to make this last. Very good.
That opening scene, man.
Yeah, but it was spoiled for me. Like, I knew, well, you're right, because I didn't know, like, word for word, actual story arc of that opening scene.
Right.
But I knew that I was expecting a lot from the opening scene. I didn't ruin it for Natasha. And to sort of watch that and be like, oh, well, okay, so this isn't all going to take place in 66. So you kind of pay attention to names. I think they have like a big reveal that I didn't think was very revealing. Although there's one thing about how like the Communist Party, the women had short hair and you know, they all look the same, Alan. What? You just said, right. I was tricking you. I don't really think that way. Get him. Wow. God, some of them have like real pushed up faces. Some of them have like narrow faces. It's different, Alan. What the fuck's wrong with you? You're not supposed to say pushed up faces, huh?
I don't think so.
Okay. Do you think Koreans get mad at that?
Oh,
I think they definitely used to. I don't think people say that anymore. So I might actually get away with it. They also took the word up out of it. Well, let me rephrase that. My best friend's dad growing up, when he would talk about the Korean War, he didn't say pushed up faces.
I'm sure he didn't.
Okay. Am I okay?
I think you're fine.
Okay. Anyways, so there was like two female characters in the first scene. And later on, that one of the people had long hair. She had short hair. And I was like, no, it's the first one with the short hair. And Natasha had to tell me I was wrong. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. I think I watched it in 2 days.
I think you told me you binged it. Yeah, and yeah, I'm afraid to. So like I'm trying to just make it last.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. Yeah, patience, right? Patience. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, do you want to move into our game of the week?
Let's.
Throw your hands up. Take your shirt off. Twist it around your head like a helicopter. Just like Petey Pablo taught us. So it's our newest game submitted by Young Thrash Lad. It is called Wacky, as in made up, or Kakalaki, as in real stories of North Carolina. So I've unhighlighted, or I've unblocked the first one for you to read. I do know the answer to the first one, so I'm not completely unbiased on these.
Okay. In 1961, a U.S. Air Force B-52
sign says, "Stay away, fools, because love rules at the Love Shack." Is that B-52?
Exactly, sir.
Okay.
Strata Fortress?
Yeah.
Broke up over Goldsboro, North Carolina, dropping two 3.8 megaton nuclear bombs, one of which was one safety switch away from detonation, and the other of which buried itself more than 150 feet in a cornfield, where the plutonium core remains to this day.
So you're going to find the one false in these three.
Okay.
All right. Next one here. I like how you're reserving your answer. You don't want to get stuck to it, right?
No. Yeah. Blackbeard was killed on the inner coast of Ocracoke Island, North Carolina, in 1718.
Consonant vowel. It's easy.
Yeah, where his ship had run aground while trying to find safe harbor. His killing by a task force sent by the governor of Virginia caused a major diplomatic incident between the two governments, as he'd bribed North Carolina Governor Charles Eden with a literal shipload of gold for a pardon.
So 1718, we're talking about a loose confederacy of states here.
Right.
Wait. Okay.
No, not even.
Colonies.
Yeah,
I paid attention in school.
The largest residential home in the United States, the Biltmore, was built by George Vanderbilt II in Asheville, North Carolina, between 1889 and 1895. And consisted of 100,000 square feet of an estate on an estate of 50,000 acres. And that would be, what's his name? The CNN guy.
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper. Yeah, that's his.
Anderson Cooper's great grandfather. Yeah, great.
Okay, that's I think that's true.
Yeah, that one seems true. Yeah, that's very specific, too.
Yeah.
Do you think he'd lie about the dates? He wouldn't do that. That's too sneaky.
Yeah, that's too sneaky. I also think somewhere in the back of my head, I've heard the whole B-52 thing.
Yeah.
I would find it surprising that the plutonium core is still there. They wouldn't just
pull it out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I'm going to say,
I feel like I know the story about that being like pinned off, right? Like they put up a perimeter and like nobody's been allowed in there.
Oh, for like 80 years.
Yeah.
60 something years. I'm going to say the Blackbeard one is the wacky.
The wacky. Okay. Yeah. Let's reveal. So I know the first one's true. So you were right to say that that's true.
Okay. Okay.
And let's go down here. What's true here?
What's the Biltmore one true?
Well, we'll see. There's a long answer there.
Okay.
So it's either a correction. Oh,
Blackbeard was. Okay. So I got one right, one wrong.
Wow. So all of that's true. 1718, Ocracoke Island.
Blackbeard.
He bribed him with a shipload of gold. Man, you could have done it. It's just a couple colonies. What's the point of being on the other side of the world if you don't act like
right.
it, right?
Imagine
what he'd do with a shipload of gold as a governor of North Carolina.
In 1718? Yeah.
Jesus. Man, you live like a Spaniard, right? Living like a Spaniard.
Show title.
Yeah. I got to write it down. Well, that doesn't. I'm going to ask you what that scribble means, okay?
Okay.
The largest residential home in the United States, which means the Kakalaki, nope, the Wacky, is the Biltmore. Oh, kind of true, kind of false. It's actually 170,000 square feet and was originally 125. So it's even bigger. You tricked us with technicalities, Thrash.
God damn it, Thrash.
You know what? So you said false. You called it. I don't like giving you credit, but when do. Very happy for you, Alan.
All right, that was a good game. That was fun.
That was fun.
Thanks, Thrash.
Yeah, thanks, Thrash. Give us another one. And listeners, if you got an idea for a game, send it on in on our Instagram. Or message Alan at nontakenpod.com. What's your email?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, you want to put the game on me? Have him send him to Alan at A-L-L-A-N
at nontakenpod.com.
Okay. ALLAN at nuntakenpod.com. Bug then Allen with this stuff, all right? This is his show anyways. Give him the quiz.
Then I can have Dustin play a game.
Yeah. That'd yeah. be fun. Yeah. All right. I'm a shitty moderator or game show host. I'm always like, which one is it, one true and two false? I don't know. can I ask you a question that's been bugging me for a while?
Yeah.
Like every time I see one of these on the road, it's not a Nissan Altima reference. Okay. Is there any more of a dated vehicle? Mostly because it's so different than anything else too. Is there any more dated vehicle than a yellow Hummer H2?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I think you're right about that. It feels very 2006
or earlier,
yeah, I was
right?
Before, but
like, there's got to be an easier way to tell people. I loved playing the 1994 arcade game Cruisin' USA. Do you remember that game?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that was the coolest game there was at the time.
You could change the soundtrack.
Yeah, that was better than the motorcycle that would tilt.
Yeah, yeah.
We sound like kids with the. Well, they'd have a stick and a hoop, and oh boy.
I bet. Yeah, that specific color too, though.
The yellow H2, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, man. I'll talk to you in a couple of days. This has been real.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That was fun.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady.
Cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.